Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Season 3 of the Fanfiction Tapes. I'm your host today, Maya, pronouns she, her, and today I'm joined by my insulting co-host.
Constructing additional Dylans. Hello.
I am teamed. Hello.
And I am our producer, Frustrated. Pronouns he, him.
Today's topic is all about a short piece of original fiction hosted on AO3 and Tumblr, Sinoverse, by WingedCat13. And I'm very normal about this, which is why it's showing up on the episode. I'm not actually certain when I ran across Sinoverse. Probably almost a year ago. And of course, I immediately sent it to both Steamed and Ian, as it seemed up their alley. Now, why the hell should you, the listener, also care about this thing I'm about to go on about? Well, I think it's a really interesting narrative about superheroes. It's queer as shit, which, if you're listening to this podcast, I'm gonna assume you enjoy that. It's also a story with a villain perspective. If you haven't checked it out already, I recommend it. I know I've mentioned it a couple times on the podcast. It's very yummy. And, very print it out and chew on it energy. The whole story so far is about 56,000 words. There's multiple pieces. Really, the first standalone part. That's solid. There's more to it too, but that first one's only about 8,000, and the author tries to keep things about 8,000 words per reading material. So, how about some endorsements from other fairly normal people?
Hi, yes, this is a very good thing to read if you like superheroes and or villain protagonists and or queer media. Go read the Sinoverse.
Yeah, I read it straight through between the hours of 1 a.m. and 2 a.m. last night. Extremely good. Strong endorsement.
And I thought it was fine.
Wow.
It's not your, you know, your favorite co-host's, you know, usual cup of tea.
Yes, Dylan, we get it. You're the certifiable token normie.
Token normie.
I'm not really that normal, though. I'm just like, I'm the guy who's like, oh, look, it's just not my dealio. Okay, fam? Not enough, it's, you know, it was well written, but, you know, the content was, like, fine. It was fine.
He just has bad taste.
Not everything is for everyone. That's fair.
Yeah, but I can rib Dylan.
I think Dylan's track record does demonstrate a pattern of trash taste. Yes.
Doesn't like one thing the other two people like. Ah, you must be not be media literate and have trash taste.
I mean, just before we started recording, you were claiming that The Phantom Menace is a better movie than Return of the Jedi.
Because it is. Like, that's just, like, true fact. Now, I won't get into that, but that's just fact. Anyway, back to this.
Everyone else on the call barely holding themselves back from buying a plane ticket and committing homicide.
Anyway, back to this, which Black Adam is better than. No, fuck Dwayne. Black Adam was terrible. This is a lot better than Black Adam, which is, you know, it's not saying much, but it's a lot better than that, which is saying a lot. Yeah, I did enjoy how it was written. It was kind of interesting. It gave me big Maya energy. I was reading it and I was just going, yeah, that tracks. This is why Maya would like it. The main character, I thought, had extremely smug, quippy asshole energy, which is the same as Maya.
Impressive for how few quips I actually managed to produce.
I've DM'd you before. I know how quippy you can be. It's like, have a conversation. You have to insult the opposition at every point.
Conversations are a battle in which anticipating a good grade is both very normal and possible to achieve.
Maya never lets me monologue. It's not fair. But yeah, I could see why you guys were like this. Obviously, I am not the target audience. It obviously resonates a lot more with you guys. But I can see why people would like it, what is good about it. I thought, you know, it's just like, not mine. Not for me. Do you want to know why, or do you guys want to talk about the good stuff? Before I go, this is what
didn't. I think let's get to the good stuff. Fun with that.
Yeah.
Play with the food, as it were. And one of the things I like about it is the way that it approaches superhero media. I don't know if I've actually said this on the show yet, but I was never huge on like superheroes as a kid, despite like that being the premium choice of media for me. Like that. It really is the type of thing that makes a lot of sense for me to enjoy. And I just never got big into it. Steamed actually said something about me a while ago that I'm still not over, that I refer to as the final crockpot.
Oh, immortalized forever now, great.
Look, man, you were already pinned where you said it, like...
You pinned it?
Yeah. You said a banger. Anywho, it's dealing with, like, kind of how fucked up having powers and that kind of associated responsibility is something to cut my teeth on.
Because I think what happens is, like, you know... The idea of superhero media is cooler than actual superhero media sometimes if the part you're interested in is not the part they're interested in addressing.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, that's definitely some of it. There probably are comics and stuff out there that address it. I just do not have the budget for that right now. Later, though. Like, I mean, I've enjoyed a lot of, like, the... deconstructions of superheroes, of like a lot of times people with a lot of power can be jack wipes, and that's partly something that happens in Sinoverse. I won't say that's the point, really. I actually really like what they do with one of the main antagonist characters, where he isn't actually a bad hero. Like he is a good hero. But he's a bad person. And to me, that kind of, like, drives home a point of sometimes people with some of the shittiest opinions and beliefs and behaviors can seem otherwise very normal. They can be nice, even. Can donate to charity. Can genuinely do good in the world. Because it's important to remember that the people who do awful, terrible things at the end of the day are people too. You are not immune to propaganda.
Yeah, keep on shoving your gay agenda down my throat.
You're the one who keeps playing D&D with me.
So yeah, that's what you liked.
That's one of the things I like. I like how queer it is. It's very queer and yummy.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't see it. It must have been, you know, very difficult subtext.
Your kneecaps are mine, Welshman. That and your molars. I have a collection.
I don't think you do.
We're a little off topic. Steamed Ian, do you have anything you would like to contribute?
I think it's very good, because, like, Sinovis is a fascinating character, because It becomes clear later that if they wanted every character in the book dead, including their rivals, and they wanted to control the world, no one could really stop them from doing that. And yet, they hold back. And their whole deal is about holding back. And they are the... And it becomes clear later that they are the reason this hero-villain interactions are as generally non-lethal as they are. Synovus is a fascinating character to me.
Yeah, that is definitely also, it is, the character of Synovus, as you mentioned, is great fun. I love that element that the writer worked in. It's, I don't know how often I've seen that, where just like, as part of who a character is, isn't what they can do, but what they don't. What they won't, even.
That's been sort of a trend in a few manga and anime I've seen recently, is where instead of focusing on, like, sort of a zero to hero, it's more like, oh, we have this incredibly powerful person, and what happens, you know, if they get out of control or whatever, and how, you know, it's more about making sure they never use their full power instead, you know? Something like Mob Psycho is, like, prime example of that.
Ian, is there anything in particular that you would like to mention as what makes you really enjoy the Synovus?
I'm kind of on similar lines as y'all. The whole thing about Synovus being basically the most powerful being and choosing to limit themselves and to use their more soft power to limit others as well. The villains never retire story really goes to show exactly how much influence they were having on keeping the whole world of villains in check. When, like, the entire premise of that one is that they decide to retire from active villainy, and it throws the entire West Coast into chaos.
I mean, at least the West Coast. All we see is the West Coast. But I would assume there are global repercussions.
Yeah. At the same time, since we're seeing this from Synovus's point of view, we know as an audience that they have rules and limits, but there's not very many other characters who know that they have rules and limits, and they make a very big show of being uncaring and just doing things for the hell of it.
And then they even stay as much sometimes.
Yeah. So it's like, it's not just that they're an extremely powerful, superpowered individual. They're also just this, basically a master at social interaction as well.
On to me.
Also, on a personal level, I really like the detail that Hawaii is an independent republic.
Yeah, that tracks.
Mm-hmm. The story is cringe because Wales is not an independent nation.
That has neither been confirmed nor denied.
I don't think that the story has actually visited the UK properly.
Cringe?
Even.
I don't think there's really any explicit mention of any nation state other than implicitly the United States and explicitly Hawaii.
United States-centric story? Cringe.
Well, something I do kind of like a little bit is that Alexandria's from the Midwest. I don't know, I just like that. I think it's neat being myself a trans girl who grew up in the Midwest.
Midwest mentioned.
I mean,
cursed.
I remember almost every. I remember basically every story that takes place in my hometown, because that's happened twice to my memory. There are certain parts of the Midwest that, anywho.
How do you feel the state of Maine being the most of the most of the, you know, novels and media based they all from one guy?
They're probably going, yo, Maine mention?
Yeah, it was all just Stephen King, and he's made like 500 ones about Maine. They're like, Stephen, can you stop writing horror stories about us? People are avoiding Maine. They're afraid to come here.
I mean, from what I know about people from Maine, that actually tracks for what they'd want.
Yeah, I mean, you don't move somewhere like Maine and want tourists.
Poor Maine.
I mean, that's not a bad thing.
So, yeah. Do you guys want my hot takes now, or...?
All right, let's hear the spicy things from Dylan.
Okay. I didn't really care for the main character. It's not my type of main character. You know. I don't know. It's difficult to explain. It's just like, okay, super powerful, super witty, is bad guy, but also morally superior to a lot of the people in the story. It's a lot of stuff that I typically don't like. And it's like I say, it's everything that's well written and it's good, but it's just stuff I don't connect with personally. You know? And that kind of made it like, okay, like, the narrative is fine. Like, it makes sense how it goes and everything. It's just like the bones of the story is like, yeah, this is not for me. So the skin is good. The bones, I'm kind of like, And yeah. Does anyone have a point they want to make about that? Are you happy to let my opinion just sit here?
No, I am trying to articulate words. I think, because you mentioned that the bad guy, that side of us, even though being a villain, is morally superior to many of the other characters in the show. In the show. Yes.
The show.
Yeah.
I mean, I would love for there to be, like, an animated adaptation of side of us. I would chew on some couch cushions for that one.
You do that anyway.
I do not. I mostly stick pens in my mouth.
My, no.
I don't even chew on them. They just sit there. Useful when soldering, though.
I think it's because I don't want to say that the narrative is, like, really focused. Because obviously, you know, the story's purpose is just to tell this story. It's not about anything else. But it's when you're telling the story that, okay, we see these characters and we see these characters, but we only see two heroes for the entire thing, right? Quote unquote.
Three to four, depending on how you count it.
Yeah.
But also, can I kind of refute something?
Sure.
I think that the superheroes are more supposed to be, they're not supposed to be a perfect system. There's mention of at least six, possibly seven, and only three of them are really made out to be that bad of people. I mean, some of that's the point is that, right, because there has long been an association between villains, especially supervillains, and queerness and being a minority. and I'm struggling to string my words together. I wish I could just spew them, but that's not happening right now. And I think some of this is playing with, you know, kind of that history. I mean, there's the phrase queer-coded for a reason. The heroes are good heroes, with the exception of the one dude who's fucking high as shit. I think his name, too, is a cocaine reference.
Oh, it is, you're right.
Which is kind of funny. Because there's a, I think, a DC villain with a similar gimmick or vibe. Where was I going with this? Wow, I'm really with it today. There are actually quite a few heroes that are explicitly pretty good people, although they show up later on in the series. Like Sundog and Wildfire are pretty good people, but they show up in the most recent installment. They work with, you know, charity stuff, and there's a mention of folks who do that, but the ones that we engage with are supposed to be, you know, disappointments, right? That's Legionnaire, that's Albion in a nutshell. He's someone who Synovus picked as a rival because he didn't f*** around. He was legit, he was the shit. And then it turns out that he's abusive and transphobe. Or, well, I mean, yeah, he is transphobic. That his actions are explicitly transphobic. Although it's really just more out of a, like,
ignorance?
Not even ignorance, really. But just, like,
conservative mindset?
And again, not even that, although that is some of it. Just more, like, almost apathy, but that's not quite right, of just, like, not taking the effort to do the bare minimum. And I will refute your kind of the thing you were building with towards, like, we see Synovus being a better person than the heroes, with no, we see Synovus murder several people.
My point was more that the problem is when you are presented with, like, this idea, the problem is, okay, here are the heroes that we are shown for the most of the narrative. Of course, new ones are shown later in. And it's sort of like, okay, I know you don't want to will build too much here, but could we see, like, some other heroes, maybe worse people heroes or better people heroes, just so we have a sense of, are the heroes we are seeing here the norm? Are they the exception? What are we dealing with here? Just, you know, that might be me being like someone who's, you know, like someone who really likes to get into the details, get in the mud. But that's just sort of how I felt. Like, okay, I'm presented with this one example. What is this trying to tell me?
I think it's trying to tell you the capes are cool.
He did have capes. Yeah.
However, I'm afraid I must go Edna mode. No capes.
No capes.
No capes.
No capes. God, I love Edna. Great character. I love that Synovus is just, like, basically an evil theater kid.
Uh-huh.
Like, tell me I'm wrong.
No.
I mean, you're pretty much right.
No, you're not.
I suspect I actually might have enjoyed theater if, well, let's just say theater would not have been a wise option in high school. And leave it at that.
One of the vibes I get from Synovus as a character is, like, they had their redemption arc, but they don't believe in redemption, so they just end up on the other side of the fence trying to fix the system from what you would consider the wrong side.
Absolutely. I would agree with that. Because I think after, and I guess I'm just absolutely going to go into outright spoilers for the entire thing at this point. I've been trying to not.
I think I don't think this is a long enough series to discuss without spoilers.
Yeah. So if you've been listening now and gone like, maybe I might check that out and you don't want spoilers, get, otherwise...
Maybe we could have Dylan cut that in at the beginning. We're going to spoil things.
I don't know. The recording time says it's about a half hour. So this is, you know, about halfway through the episode. This is normally when we hit the spoiler line on our spotlights.
Well, let's spoil then. Let's go.
So, I think that Cynovus feels guilt over killing Sunhallow, and, like, from that point is like, I am irredeemable, I must be a terrible person because I went back on all these things, I did all these things for him, but it still doesn't change, killing him didn't fix that. It didn't change that I've done these terrible things, that I've killed all these people, that I've killed Willowsteel. I forgot about Willowsteel, by the way, so that's, like, at least 8 heroes that are mentioned. And it's... that there is absolutely, I think, some self-loathing going on over all the actions they took at the behest of Sunhallow. And it's like, you were a child. There are a lot of characters who I would like to give a good shake about the shoulders, a blanket, and a cup of hot cocoa. Cynovus is one of them.
I do... The detail that I think is very interesting is they pick their rivals because they think they're the good ones, and they intentionally hold back and keep other people from hurting them.
Yeah, I... Like, Cynovus is a really interesting character to me because they're an asshole. They are, by what most of us, I guess, would consider moral standards, not a good person. Explicitly, at least one point, tried for war crimes, even if they are acquitted. There could have been circumstances on that that could make that acquittal questionable. Because, I mean, really, do you want to be one of the people who charges one of the most powerful beings in the world with war crimes? Like, if they've done that, you best be hiding soon.
Well, I don't know. Maybe they've got the mechanisms to enforce that. This is a world with superheroes.
True, but this is also a world post-Sun... Oh, actually...
Well, it is a world post-Sunhallow, that's true.
Although, honestly, that makes more sense to to have a structure for those mechanisms.
Because this is a post-Sunhallow world.
Yeah. It's, yeah, anywho, they're kind of not, like... It's interesting. I've said this several times already, but it's true. I'm just looking at my trans flag pole arm and contemplating life.
Huh?
I mean, it's mostly just a piece of PVC, but it counts.
Okay. I was worried there was like an actual pole arm that I had not seen last time I was at your house.
I mean... There could be.
Yeah, there could be, which is why I was concerned.
It's funny, we've gone this far into the podcast without really mentioning much about Menace and Minerva.
Thank you for reminding me. I gotta get this out of the gate. I really ship Minerva and Cynovus. For I am Microwave. I really enjoy their dynamic. I there's something I like about Man, I really am a sucker for villain and hero ship dynamics. Goddamn. Looks at art on my wall that I have of the kiss. Yeah, goddamn.
Yeah. So I did find that relationship to be the most interesting part of the entire work. Surprise.
Surprise. Mr. Romance Enjoyer enjoys the nibbles of romance that he is fed in crumbs through his cage.
I was fucking starving in this one. You know. Yeah, I think Minerva was a fascinating character. Sort of being going from what we initially think of her and evolving over time into what we actually come to understand of the character. It does then leave us with the sort of, because what we do have to acknowledge here is, like, Minerva is a better character than her ex, a better person than her ex-husband. Still not a good person, though.
I actually disagree. I think she is a good person. Because, and apologies to everyone who doesn't read Brandon Sanderson. God.
Yeah. The most apologize directly to me.
No. The most important words a man can say are, "I will do better," which is a quote from one of his books. And that's a big thing for Minerva is, yeah, she fucked up. She recognizes it. She acknowledges it and makes effort to do better. Because, like, the thing about people, we're gonna fuck up. You will hurt someone. And maybe you hurt someone on purpose. Maybe you do it on accident, like Minerva did.
Well, I think I think it is not incorrect to say Minerva was a man.
Yeah, Minerva was a bad person. Well,
or I'm thinking
Minerva was abusive to Alex, to Alexandria.
Yeah, I'm thinking, what do we actually? Because the evidence we get for Legionary being bad is much more conclusive than the. Do we ever?
We do get implications that she, through the acclamation of Albion's physical abuse of her and Alexandria also physically abuse Alexandria. And I mean, that's I think also a thing is that someone who does harm is not like this typical Protestant view of like forever branded bad person. I mean, shit, my parents and I had a really rocky relationship for a long time. Still kind of do. That doesn't mean I hate them. It just means we all have some things to go to therapy about. I mean, it doesn't think I think they're bad parents. I mean, I think. Sidetrack. But, you know, it's, you can always choose to be better than how you are right now. Right, that is always a step you can take. It is not making that step, I think, that makes a bad person. It is actively and repeatedly refusing to take that step. And, I mean, I gotta be honest, I don't even know if Albion realized what he was doing was abusive and fucked up. And what he did was very abusive and very fucked up. He isolates Minerva, gets her away from any other support structure, and wears her down. I mean, it very well could have been intentional and systematic.
I mean, that is the thing with abusive relationships. It's like, is the abuser cognitive of this, or is it more of just like this sort of natural way of them, you know?
Yeah, and I mean,
it's weird to discuss, isn't it? It's like, is this like premeditated, or is this just like them going by feeling like this is what I have to do to control them, you know?
Yeah, and in a lot of cases, it isn't premeditated. That doesn't make it not abuse and not something you should get out of.
Yeah, it's basically like, is it instinctual on their part, or is it like, I have to plan this out to control them? Most of the time, it's more instinctual. You know, it's like, I want to control this person, So, you know, would abuse, control is a form of abuse, so on and so forth, you know.
Yeah. There's a lot of themes of that in this work, and it's, I like the way it's handled in the work. It vibes with me in the way I think about the world, as I think should be evident by this conversation. Also, back to the thing that kicked off this tangent, I suppose. I definitely really am a sucker for heroic character deciding to say "f*** it" to the system. I do like that. That is the type of thing that makes me go and stay up for 3 hours doing snail frame analysis. Like, so kind of that whole arc with both Alexandria and Minerva, that's something that speaks to me, because, well, I kind of said f*** it on the system a long time ago. Definitely, I think, part of why I like media with superpowers is because I really just wish someone would go and fix the problems.
You've watched My Hero Academia, you know that it would just cause a whole new set of problems.
I actually still haven't finished it. I started watching it before freshman year of college, and because I was like, so for those of you who haven't already guessed this from conversations on the show, I need constant enrichment in the form of things to do. And so whenever I'm on like break from something, I get bored very quick, and being bored is very painful. So I tend to try and fill that time with as many things as possible. That's part of why the podcast is a thing I do, because I had too much time on weekends. And the intervening time between graduating high school and starting college was a very weird time for me. I didn't have anything going on, partly because there was an ongoing pandemic at the time. From like the months of March to September, there was not really anything going on in my life. So I played a lot of video games, and I watched quite a few shows in that time frame, including She-Ra and the first season of The Owl House, both things about which I am very normal. Anywho, I was doing things a lot to pass the time. Tangents. Wow. ADHD talking hour, everyone.
But I digress.
I mean, this being the ADHD talking hour is why we started this episode 34 minutes after we were supposed to.
I blame the white women.
There aren't any of those here.
No, not in your space. There were too many in mine. But yeah, I did think it was an interesting read. Also note, it wasn't written in a way that is commonly seen. It was written in the second person.
Which is an unusual choice. I think it worked.
Yeah. Yeah, it was fine. I was kind of weirded out by it, you know. But it was fine. I didn't get too lost. It did do... This story does have one of my... I don't want to say least favorite things, but one of the things that can get difficult sometimes, which is the name game. Some characters have, you know, 2 to 3 different variations on various names, or like titles, yeah, I mean, or things.
Minerva literally has 3 names at the work. Yeah, I can get that.
And, you know, switching between those names sometimes, or establishing new names, is kind of like, ugh. Sometimes it can get difficult.
I mean, I think that just tends to be a hazard of the cape genre.
Yeah, that is definitely, I think, a problem for anything where with secret identities.
I think it's why we do refer to a lot of heroes in their full name when we discuss them in civilian form. Because it's
Clark
so much
Kent, Bruce yeah, Wayne,
it's so much, you know, Wally West. Yeah, it's just like we say that because it immediately separates that from the hero, and you get that character idea out there. Whereas in this work, do we get second names or surnames for most characters?
I don't think anyone has a surname,
and that's kind of like the difficulty in separating, you know, the non-hero name, the hero name, the alternate names, you know, is that, okay, we're just going on like a first name basis here and we're switching names. Hero names, when you only have first names and then you have hero names, it's kind of like harder to distinguish. Whereas if you had a full name and a hero name, then it's like, okay, now we have a distinguisher because we have a surname, at least. To have a little bit of a buffer here. But yeah, it's like when you see how common it is in other superhero media to be like, this is their full name. This is them as a civilian, as a person, their non-hero identity, their full, you know, their Christian name.
Hey, Dylan.
Uh-huh.
You should read Gideon the Ninth. Basically, everyone there has a last name.
I mean, I can read other things that have last names, too. And I do own that.
Want a book with last names in it?
Yeah.
You should read Gideon the Ninth.
I mean, it has some of the last names of all time.
It does have some of the last names of all time.
Yeah.
Conversely, you should not read Animorphs. They refuse to give the last names of any characters until, like, book 50.
Why are they 50?
Because it was a monthly serialized YA sci-fi series.
Why are they 50?
Scholastic, that's one. Did Scholastic do Magic Treehouse?
That is a very good question.
The reason
not for this
is
episode.
I have, like, 50 of those books as well. Because that was my wee lassie reading material, as it were.
Maya trying to sell me on Gideon the Ninth. I already own it. You don't have to convince me to get it. You just have to make me read it.
Yeah, I have to convince you to open the damn thing.
I'm too busy.
I mean,
we can fix that.
What does that mean?
There are many possible solutions to that, one of which involves...
I don't think you can get through customs with that. Anyway, yeah, to say you need to fix it suggests... to say you need to fix it suggests something is broken. There's nothing broken with me.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Not Fred and me.
You haven't read Gideon the Ninth yet.
The more you say it, the less inclined I will be. I'm a creature of spite.
I mean, I think you're more of a creature of sprite than anything, but...
I'm more of a I'm more of a 7-up person, actually. How are we doing on words today, Maya?
We have some words out of 10.
What does that mean? What did you just call me?
It means we have some words out of 10.
I plead the fifth.
Learn to listen, five head. I probably have more comments, but like, they are not fully formed yet, and I should not drag the tadpoles out yet. I need to wait for them to be frogs.
What is that proverb?
You've known me for 4 years now, and you're surprised when I do that.
Look, I'm not Midwestern. I don't get this.
I hate to break it to you, Chief. That is not normal Midwesterner behavior.
Yeah.
I don't think, anyways.
Yeah, but I am just stating, I'm not Midwestern. This is a fact.
All right. So, if we don't have anything else we'd like to say about Cynovus, do we have anything in the mailbag today, Ian?
Once again, nothing in the mailbag. So, if anybody wants to reach out to us about how this recommendation has ruined your life, or alternately, how this recommendation has improved your life, our email address is fanfictapes@gmail.com. You can also leave us a comment on our YouTube channel or a review on Apple Podcasts. We also appreciate ratings on there and on Spotify. You can also get to us on social media. Right now, we're just on Twitter, formerly X.
Although, potentially, by the time of the uploading of this episode, that may have changed. Just at recording time, all we have is our Twitter account, @fanfictiontapes, capital F, capital T. As I think mentioned, I run that account. There is occasionally shitposting and also announcements of episode updates and status if we're behind a little bit, as happens, because, believe it or not, rather than being like a box of chocolates, life is a lot more like a semi-truck coming at you down a highway. Thank you, Mr. Wilhelm Dillon.
That was
that man. Actually wasn't Dillon.
Huh.
Do you want one, though? I'll give you one. There, you can keep that one for free.
I do not need additional Wilhelm scream sound bites. But there are plenty of them on the internet.
Dillon Wilhelm scream soundboard for the podcast.
So, our next episode will be on how with writing, sometimes plans change, which is very ironic because of plan changes. We have to reschedule the recording for that one. Steamed, before we go, do you have anything you would like to share in terms of your works or anything with our listeners?
No.
I figured that would be the answer, but it is polite to ask.
So it is.
All right. I am and have been Maya, and today I was joined by...
Dillon. Yeah.
Steamed. Hello. I'm Steamed. I was here.
And once again, I am our producer, Ian. Until next time, bye.